Let's turn to begin this message today to the book of Romans chapter 12, 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now last week we were talking about the holiness of God, that God wants us to be holy, and we talked about how important and integral it is to live by God's Word to be holy. If we're not living His Word, how do we become holy? What makes us separate is not just being different. What makes us separate and holy unto God is His Word. When we live by His Word, when we obey His Word, it changes us. It transforms us. And so He says, present yourselves a living sacrifice. So when you think about that sacrifice, that was how you enter into communication with God. When you would come to the tabernacle or to the temple, the first thing you would hit in the outer court was a place of sacrifice. The flesh had to be destroyed first. Before you moved on and were washed, before you entered into the tabernacle and approached the Holy of Holies. Now all of this that God had set up in the tabernacle and the temple was teaching us about an approach to God that begins with sacrifice. A humbling of oneself, a laying down of life. And what we're really doing when we lay down ourselves and we become a living sacrifice is we are imitating God Himself, who first loved us in so much that He sent His only Son to die for us that we might be saved. And so He's saying, I gave my whole life for you. The Father says, I gave my Son for you. Will you give your life for us? That we may have fellowship together. And that is the purpose of God creating us and making us in His image, that we would come to know the light and have fellowship with Him. His love is to share His life with us. How exciting it is to be alive. To know that you are here, existing, breathing, because God made you and He wants to spend eternity with you. That His love is so great and expansive, He has to share who He is. And He does it with us. And who are we? And yet, God says, I made you to be my sons and my daughters. What a wonderful blessing it is to know God, to know His purposes, to know His plans, to be alive knowing Him. This is what gets us up. This is what gets us going. And He says, present yourself holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't just go along with what the world is doing. It's very easy to do that. We grow up wanting to fit in, wanting to not stand out, not be separate. Even sometimes the rebellions that we have against society are very conformist. Ever notice the trends? You know, looking back over the last 40 years of my life, even when there is the quote-unquote rebellion, everybody rebels the same way. What's up with that? We're conforming in our rebellion against conformity. But here we see that we do not want to be conformed to the world, but notice, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to think about that, a renewing of your mind. We all have ways in which we think. We all have ways that we process information. We all have ways that we view the world. And God is saying, much of the way you all view the world is in a conformity way that's according to the world. According to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see the world in a certain way. I want your mind renewed. I want your mind renewed. And notice He says that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That was the song we were just singing at the end as we closed our worship. I surrender all that I am. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. Is your heart today in a place before God where you're saying, yes, God, you rule in me. You reign in me. I want to be conformed to your perfect image, holy and acceptable in your sight. Now notice, it says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the transformation process. And why is it so important? Why am I so strongly encouraging that you join us together with Barb in reading the Bible daily, going through it in the year? Because I know that if you look into God's Word with a heart to prove what is His good and perfect and acceptable will, you will be changed. You will be renewed by it. This is a living book. This book pierces. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Notice here, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living. This is not a dead book. This is not just a piece of literature, though there are beautiful stories and poetry in it, songs, prayers. It's not just a book of literature. It's a living book by a living God. He has blessed His Word so much that when it goes forth, it doesn't come back void to Him. You want to be changed? You know, we come to the end of the year and so often we see the opportunity, right, to create a resolution. What are we doing different? But here's the thing. If you don't do anything different in your life, if you don't make any choices to do anything different than what you did this year, you end up in the same place. And so often we humanly want to say, well, someday I'll do this. You know, someday I will read the Bible. Someday I will pray more. Someday. But I'm so busy right now. Well, busy always comes. And we become slaves to activity. And we lose our purpose. You were made to be the child of God. You were made to live with God forever. You were made to have fellowship with Him and to share life with Him. And what He is inviting you and me into now is a fellowship so holy, so sacred, so special, that in the process we become changed like Him. As it says in Ephesians 4, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you think about what that is? Do you realize where you've been called to go in life? Not to stay where you are, but to grow, to develop. One of the biggest deceptions in this world is just to be comfortable to stand pat with where you are. It's easy to just follow your lust. It's easy to just give in to what is default. To just conform to the world, to conform to the ungodliness. Because what is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's easy to just give in to that. That is where we go naturally. But the power, God says, is to him who overcomes. He shall be my son and my daughter. He shall inherit all things. God did not call us and save us and wash us from our sins so that we can continue in our sin. He washed us and cleansed us so he can take us on a path, on a road with him. Where we walk side by side. Where we walk in agreement with one another. And the change has to happen with us. God's already got it all figured out. He knows what love is, what righteousness is, what justice is, what holiness is. He knows what it is to be compassionate and merciful. He's asking us to join Him in His way of thinking, which is so separate from the world and so separate from our carnality. He wants us special in holiness to Him. And it happens by this renewing of our minds. And so he says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. The Word of God is very powerful. You hold the Bible in your hand, you realize what this is? Do you realize what it's capable of? See, so often we're deceived. So often we're blinded. So often we don't know. But this Word can go right into us and make the difference to cause us to be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong, between good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. God's Word is here for that. We look at this precious Word, and God is saying, I breathe this. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. That it literally means He breathed this. He breathed it. Do you want a personal relationship with God, our Father, with Jesus, our Savior? Do you want that personal relationship with Him? See, your view of God's Word, saying, well, I don't see you with my eyes. I may not hear you with my ears, but you wrote to me through your servants. And I've got your thoughts. You told me you breathe this. How precious is a love letter? How precious is it to sit with God? David said, a day with you is better than 1,000 other days. One of the prayers that I pray often is, God, just let me come up into your heavenly throne and just let me sit and listen. Just to hear you speak anything. Just to hear your voice, to hear the way you view the world, life. What you would have me do, the way you would have me live. And the reality, as much as I want it, you know, in a human way, as much as I would relate to another human being, He already breathed it out. You see, it's not just enough to read the words when you go through the Bible. You have to listen for His voice. See, what makes the Bible come alive is when you look at it with the faith that it deserves. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says that in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You are changed and transformed by believing that this is God's Word and by hearing His voice from this Word. He is speaking to you. I can't even begin to tell you the number of times where I've had need, where I've had questions, where I open this book and God just speaks and it's like, it's just right there. He just wants to deliver it. And what you're doing when you go in and you say, I'm going to be reading this and we're going to be reading this Word together and we're going to be going through the Bible together, we're saying, talk to me, God. I'm committed to listening. I'm committed to changing my heart. I realize that I have ways and intents and ideas all my own. But I'd rather hear yours. I want to know the truth. I want to know the way you see things. Because you can look at situations in life, and sometimes you might say, well, I'm not really sure how God would view that. Keep listening. When you read His Word, listen for His voice. So many times we humanly want to say what God says. But what's better is just to listen to what God says for yourself. Just listen. Listen for His voice. What is He thinking about? When He wrote this down, what did He want to express? God is very wise. God has an amazing mind. And so when you think of this Word and you start to look at it, you can just break it down into sentences and into thoughts, into single words even. The way God was expressing Himself, He did it on purpose. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all things are fulfilled. He wrote this for us. And He said, this is my Word to you. Now, if we value this Word the way God would have us value the Word, looking to Him to speak to us, how could a father resist? He won't. That is my assurance to you. You will be changed by listening to His Word. Your mind will be renewed. You find out what kind of person you are by the people you hang out with, the books you read, the things that you allow to fill your heart and mind. It changes you. You get into cultures, and those cultures will make you want to conform. God has a culture too. You know, the last month or so, I've been giving a lot of stats, right? I gave stats on how often certain things are in the Bible or how often they're not in the Bible. I gave stats on what people who say they believe the Bible believe or talk about in terms of morality. Those things didn't match up very well, did they? We can all be guilty of that too if we're not committed to His Word. And so reading all of it helps to get the understanding and the story together. Helps us to understand what God is leading us to understand, what God is wanting us to see. Turn with me over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." That kind of sounds like that Romans 12:1, doesn't it? You know, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Here it's saying, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, this is the word of truth, but rightly dividing it. You know, knowing the Bible is not enough. It's understanding what God is saying in the Bible. The Bible can be twisted in all kinds of ways. But when you read the Bible and you ask God to speak, what you start to see are themes that are throughout. You see themes of plans. You see themes of creation. You see themes of healing. You see themes of salvation, of redemption. You see God taking the low and raising them up. You see God taking the proud and putting them down. You see themes of mercy, of sacrifice, of a willingness to give everything for someone else. You see awesome themes. And that affects the way you think. And it should be affecting you in the way you are with your spouse, the way you are with your children, the way you are with either your employer or employees or your clients or the people you work with your neighbors. Your interactions get changed because what God is showing you in all these themes is a way of thinking and living and going through life that is not the way of the world. And the counterfeits become known. So he says, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, they will increase to more ungodliness. Let me tell you, there is all kinds of babblings going on. I mean, the internet is full of babblings. I mean, seriously, I get sent babblings all the time. I can't even begin to read all the things I get sent. The videos, you've got to watch this 27-hour video because it's going to tell you the mystery. And you watch like 2 hours of it and it's still the introduction. It's like they wear you out. When will you actually say what you mean? You're just babbling on. You know, and articles and long documents and pages and pages and pages going on and on and on. What is it about? We have a culture that wants to hear the other thing when the real thing's right here. We've got it. This word is the real thing. This is where you want to be pouring your heart and attention to. And frankly, if you don't have time for this, you probably don't have time for the other. This is it. This is where the dedication needs to be. And notice, in their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus, Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. So often there is a getting away from God's word. Because there's not a dedication. What have we been talking about in 2 Thessalonians? Because they did not receive a love of truth. God sent them strong delusions to believe the lie. You know what's amazing about God? That ultimately He says, if you're just not going to be satisfied with what I'm giving you, I'll let you have what you want. And here's the thing. That if you really have come to see the light, you will say, I don't know if I want what I want. Because I know that in me, right, the heart, as it says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't it one of the things people say, follow your heart? The Bible says that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. In fact, what God says is, right, Proverbs 3:3-5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's awesome. That's awesome. Because that is a promise you can take to Almighty God, that if you say, I'm not going to trust in my own understanding, my own heart, I'm going to lean on what you say, it's going to go well with me. Because when you look at God's Word and you say, this is it, I want to emulate you, God. I want to present myself a worker who pleases you as a living sacrifice. Now, guess what I've done? I've come to the path of blessing, where blessing and prosperity abound. Because God said so. This is His world. This is His universe. This is His creation. You and me and everyone here, we're His. And the manual has been written how we work and how it works to produce what? Love, peace, compassion, and joy. This is what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that?
Yes.
Well, you have to give up your own heart then. You have to give up what you want to present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Now, here's the law. You will not experience the things of God unless you're willing to die to yourself and live to Him. You can come here as much as you want, but if you go out that door and don't present yourself as a living sacrifice to Him, it doesn't work. You can know how to plant the seed of His Word in your life, but unless you plant it, it won't grow. No? You can get the little packets of seed. Comes in a nice book, electronic forms, regular forms. But if this just sits on the shelf, if this isn't looked to for the way, and it's not followed, it can't grow. If you don't plant it, it can't grow. I want you to think about that when we talk about reading through the Bible. Because what you are doing when you make a decision to spend time in God's Word on a daily basis is you're saying, I want to plant something different than's already there. I want to get rid of the weeds, and I want to push them out, and I want to plant something new in its place so that the weeds can't proliferate. But what God plants in me can. It's a law. It's an absolute law. You know, Jesus said the most amazing thing. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know it, and it shall make you free. Now, think about the freedom you have when you can look into God's Word, and God says, love your enemies. What does the carnal mind say? Hate your enemies. Go after vengeance. Wish them harm. Who becomes enslaved by your thought? You do. You can wish all the vengeance on someone else. Let me tell you, it is you who have taken vengeance on yourself. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. See what's awesome about God? His thinking, He doesn't act like the world does. He's not even reacting to it. He just is. God is. He is the one who said, I am that I am. That character doesn't change. He is who He is. He's not reacting. But see, humanly, that's what we want to do. He's nice to those who's nice to us. Right? We have to be godly to those who are not so nice to us. When they're not, you still look to be like God, who sends His rain on the just and the unjust. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know what's amazing is you go through a lot in life where you will be tested to see if you'll be kind to the unthankful and the evil. It happens all the time. I'm amazed at how often I see this come up in my life and the lives of others. It's easy to complain when somebody's unkind, isn't it? Put an extra dose on that back there. But God wants us to have something different. He wants us to see who He is. So here are those who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. They've overthrown the faith of some. People come in and it's always about the special doctrine that's something different. And that's why I said the internet is just like all these babblings and arguments and strife and disputes. Does any of it have to do with Jesus? I keep asking myself that question. What is all this really about? Winning an argument? Being right? Is it righteous? See, there is right and wrong. It's right here. So where are you going to find it? You have to look to God's Word to find it. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. If who sanctifies? I've said it again. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, God lets you choose. The truth sets you free to make a choice. But the truth does not make you choose it. There's a big difference between knowing the truth and living the truth. What cleanses us and makes us separate is when we actually apply the things that we see. So reading through the Bible is the start. It can plant the seed for change in a different way of thinking as we hear God's voice. But then what we read, we need to ask God for understanding and application. How do I take this into my life? How does this change me? How am I transformed to be like you, God? Show me what you're really communicating. Because we don't know these men who are here, but we know they came with some doctrine that didn't agree with the resurrection of the dead. They were saying the resurrection is already passed. People were losing their faith over it. He's saying it was all false. They went away from the truth. The resurrection is still to come. Christ will descend, right? With the shout, with the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. There's the truth. Comfort one another with these words. There's the truth. They brought something else. Do you know what happens when you hear the something else? If you don't know the truth, you're thrown off. If you know the truth, you say, nah, that's not working. You have to know the truth to determine, to discern, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, the discernment of the heart and thought behind what is being expressed to say, does it hold water? Is it a vessel that's broken and it all runs out with all the babblings of it? Or is it true? You only know that if you know the standard. This is the spec. This is how things are built. It can't go against the Word and be true. This is truth. So when an idea is brought up, it has to go through this filter. If it can't pass the test, it needs to be discarded. But here's the problem. If you, my friends, are not in God's Word, studying it, reading it, thinking about it, looking for it, listening for God's voice, other voices will come in and they'll send you every which way but loose. And much of Paul's writings are saying, you guys keep believing this other stuff. Where is it coming from? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. So he says, flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's where we're supposed to be with God. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if a God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. All unrighteous deception happens because we fail to have a love for the truth. And when you don't have a solid foundation on which to stand in the Word of God, you can be tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Whether it's a theological doctrine, a theoretical doctrine, whether it's a practice where you even start thinking of God as someone who He's not. You start saying God's unjust. God's evil. Where did you get that thought from? Who told you such things? How could you ever call a God unloving or unjust who gave His Son to die for you? Have you really thought that through? Why would He do that? Why, when He declares His name, He doesn't boast about His power or how He created everything? You know what He says? He says, I will declare my glory. What's the first word out of His mouth when He says, I will declare my glory in my name? He says, Yahweh, Yahweh. In Exodus 33:34. Merciful. That's the first thing He says of Himself. Merciful. Merciful. Who told you He's not merciful? Who told you He's unjust? He declares Himself to be merciful, compassionate, forgiving. He also says, but by no means clearing the guilty. Those who are in opposition and maintain it. But when someone says, I want to live a life of loving people. And when I say that, I'm really saying caring about people. Thinking of others like you would yourself. Loving another as you would love yourself. If you want to live in a right way as opposed to a wrong way. If you want to be kind instead of unkind. If you want to have joy instead of misery. You say, that's the way I want you to have. I don't want you to have all this turmoil in your heart and life. I want you to have peace. But here's the thing. You have to follow the ways that tend to peace. That tend to righteousness. That tend to kindness. That avoid the strife and the disputes that come along. But notice He says here in verse 1 of chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. Does it sound like any time you know? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The number one selling book in the world often is not read because we love pleasure more than God. Because if we really believed the truth about this word, it would always be the easy first choice. But we have a tendency to love pleasure more than loving God. But notice in verse 14, but continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration. There it is, the God-breathed, by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's this. So when you say, this word, breathed by God, given by God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, you're saying that God gave me everything to be complete. The question then is, do you want to be complete? Prepared for every good work. Do you want to? How does it happen? By having the mind of God. Proving what is His good and perfect and acceptable will. Letting go of things that are past. So that's why He says, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It just seems easier. It seems more desirous. It's more glamorous somehow. But it's not. It doesn't take you down the path I know you would really want to go. One of the websites I went to this week, and part of my job really is sifting through stuff. I sift through things people give. I get videos off the internet or articles, and people send me things, and it's the newest truth that's available. And I didn't know it changed. But somehow, there's always the new truth. Now, we should be growing in grace and knowledge and understanding. But here's the thing. In order to sift through whether something is good and right and true, you have to have a working knowledge of God's Word first. If you don't have that stability first, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, because arguments are very clever. Things get pointed out and things get dismissed. And so we have to be grounded in God's Word first to be able to discern the truth. But here's what's amazing. I went to a website this week, and it's not the first time I've seen it, but before it begins, as it says, you're going to learn this stuff, okay, and you're going to be convinced, but you need to open your heart to it. And I'm amazed how there's this phrase, you need to open your heart to it. Because I don't really need to open my heart to anything other than God's Word. You see, when I teach you right now, do you know what you really should be doing? Filtering everything against the Word of God. Hold fast to that which is good. Discard that which isn't. You have that responsibility as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to follow Him, not me. It only says follow me as I follow Christ. Believe me as I believe Christ. But if it's my own teaching and doctrine, you are responsible to discard it. So I teach you that as well. You have to discard it. But if you know the truth, you can discern rather quickly. Is that John Beagle back there? You come here. Will you come to the front? I know I can call on John. He didn't know this was coming, but he always comes up for scriptures. John is my little buddy in the morning. He's a good helper. John, I have some dollar bills here. Can you see that I do? Can you see that I do? I've got a 10, a 1, another 1, a 100, a 50, and a 10. Now, I'm gonna make you an offer right now. I want to give you one of these. Okay? Here's what I want to ask you. Would you rather have the 100 or the 1? You can pick. I won't bite you, I promise. Would you rather have the 100 or the 1? It's not a trick question. You would rather have the 100? You would. All right. Let me ask you a different question. I'll take away that bill you didn't want. Would you rather have this one to take home with you or this one to take home with you? Why would you rather have that one?
Because Julie has Monopoly, and I could use that in Monopoly.
You are a very, very smart young man. You thought of something I didn't think of. All right, we're here. I'm going to give you this one to take home. I'm going to give you that one too. All right, so failure on the example. Go sit down. So here's what I did. I offered John this, and I offered him 100 in these. Then I offered a real 10 to John and the 100. He chose the 100 because in his world that currency is dope, right? That rules in his world. I didn't realize that ruled in the Beagle world. Now, if I offered you this dollar, said you can have it, or you can have this $50 bill, which one would you take?
The dollar.
The dollar. Why?
Because it's more value.
It's worth more. Why?
It's real.
It's real. But this is 50. It's fake. It's useless. Now, guys, you rejected that pretty quickly when I offered it to you. John, you thought a little longer. You offered I want you to open your heart to the 50.
No.
I want, you're rejecting it too quickly.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
It is. The heart is deceitful, but I need you to open your heart to this. Now, if I ask you to open your heart to this 50, are you ever going to choose it?
No.
What if you thought about it and opened your heart for a year? Would you say it was of more value than this?
No.
Now, here's what's interesting about this. You could spend a year contemplating this. Or if you knew the truth, that this is actually more value, you could quickly discern that this was counterfeit. How much time does it take when you know the real to say, that's not real? Instant. That's where you need to be. Now, there's times when you have to prove things out, but when you are presented with the babblings on the internet, I'm going to tell you something. Usually within about a first page or two, or within about a first 10 minutes of a video, I pretty much know. I only can thank God for that because I've spent enough time looking at the real that if it's not matching up pretty quickly, if the premise is faulty and it goes against Scripture, I don't really have to spend much time with it. So you can watch the 27 hours of video or you can watch 10 minutes and say, no. You start with a faulty premise. Guess what happens? You end on a faulty premise. It never gets true. Once you've determined the premise is false, the whole thing is false. I don't have to think about this bill. I know, no matter that it says $50 on it or not, this $50 bill is worthless. It's counterfeit. This one I can take to the store and buy something. If I slap this one down at the convenience store, you're going to be like, what are you doing? Dude, open your heart to it. Why are you rejecting it so quickly? If you only opened your heart to the 50, you would realize. The cashier's going to look at me like, what is he smoking? Right? He's been tipping them back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But he will recognize this as true and he'll accept it. He knows what is real because he's acquainted with what is real. And the fake has no weight, no temptation. You know what's real by being acquainted with it. I ask you, do you believe this is real?
Yes.
Will it tell you what is true?
Yes.
Will it sanctify you and make you holy?
Yes.
Is it been given for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness?
Yes.
Has it been given to make you complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work?
Yes.
So if this is true, why spend so much time researching so much other stuff? You see, there is a place for pastors and teachers to help impart understanding. But a pastor and a teacher will always be taking you back to this word in saying, let me show you what it says. Let me help you understand by what it declares of itself. And you can read all the arguments, so convincing sometimes. But you say, but you're making a point. It didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Or it's contradicting that. You can say things come up and it's contradictory so obviously to a direct statement.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get deceived in our witnesses? We get deceived in witnesses because they weren't direct. They were indirect. There's assumptions made. There's things that are drawn as conclusions that aren't based upon truth. You know, it's an amazing thing that when the state of Illinois started looking at people on death row and they went back and used the evidence of DNA for the blood and everything that went on with victims of rape and murder who were on death row, do you know what they found? A lot of the people that were there weren't the guilty party. They got one off and they said, this isn't right. They looked at another innocent, third innocent, fourth innocent. I don't remember the number, but it was something like they looked at like eight or nine and they're like, all these guys are innocent. And you know what they said? We got to stop putting people to death because we have a flawed system. There have been assumptions and conclusions drawn that weren't true. We have to do that with our own belief, too. You have to challenge yourself against this word. How do you do that? You have to read it, know it, meditate it, think about it, put it together. Listen to God's voice and say, what in my life is counterfeit? What is it that's like the $50 Monopoly money? I've been valuing it worth a 50, but it's actually worthless. It's not even worth a cent. That piece of paper, it's not even worth a cent. It has no value. It's just for play. There's nothing behind it that makes it of value. What about your own life? See, we can make resolutions about losing weight, we're going to do this or that. I can challenge you to make a resolution to read this. And as you do, to question, to talk amongst ourselves about what we're reading, and to challenge our own beliefs with what God says. How do we live? How do we think? How do we practice? From the time we get up to the time we go to bed at night, what are we thinking about? What are we doing? Where is our energy and time being spent? I hope you make the commitment to read. I think your life will be changed by it. This word is so awesome. It's the strongest encouragement I can give you to be in it, reading it, contemplating it, knowing what it says, so that you can look at the counterfeits that come along on the internet and all the things and just be able to say, No, that's a Monopoly 50. That's all it is. It doesn't hold any weight right here. This is what's true. This is God's word. And when we live by it, we will be changed. This year can be a year of change by the choices you make. God frees you by the truth so you can choose, so that you can sanctify yourself from being the dishonorable vessels to become the holy vessel. I ask you to think about what you're going to do with your time, what thing you can do to make a difference for God in yourself. Choose it and do it.